Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 393, How Far Will You Go? Guest Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, November 3rd, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I just thank you, Lord, for this message. May it come out with power, with love, with kindness, gentleness, fire, all those things, Father God. Touch each person's heart to what they need today, what they need to hear. Let it prompt them, encourage them, exhort them, lift them up, and send them out. We praise you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This sermon is titled, How Far Will You Go? You know, God is so good. He allows us to choose every aspect of our walk with him. We choose if we want him. And once we make that choice and he's living within us, he gives us choices every step of the way. I love that about him. He does not push us. He is kind and gentle. Yet he has a mission that he sent Jesus to do. Jesus accomplished his part, and now he's relying on us, the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Christ, to carry that mission all the way to fullness before he returns, correct? Amen. You know he's coming back real soon. We're all seeing it. We're all feeling it. We all know it. So how far will you go in what he's asking you to do? That's what this is about today. It's about discipleship. This church has a mission, a heart of discipleship. That's one of the things God gave us. He said, go and make disciples. There was no maybe. There was no think about it. It was, that's what you are to do. So this church takes that very seriously. Discipleship is very important. And I'm so grateful for it because without it, I wouldn't be here today. I'd still be sitting in the back of a church somewhere half asleep. And in a lot of pain and a lot of problems, right? Discipleship is what helped me walk it out and get to where Jesus can use me. So hallelujah. You know, we say yes to Jesus and then we have to follow him. And there's a cost to that. We got to follow him. And then he wants us to become on mission with him. That's the whole goal of God's plan, to send Jesus to save everyone so we can go out on mission to bring all the rest in. So that's what this sermon is about. We're going to look at Elijah and Elisha. I love these two men. I think it's really awesome what the Word of God has to say. So let's get into it. Elijah was the fiery prophet whose name means Yahweh is God. Did you know your name has meaning? God has a meaning in your name. You can research that and ask God, what's the spiritual meaning of my name? Yahweh is God. That's who Elijah was. His ministry was to show the people who the one true God was. At this time in history, we're in 1 and 2 Kings is where Elijah was living. The nation of Israel was divided and the northern kingdom had turned away from God. And this eventually cost them their lives. There's a lesson right there. People are losing their lives. Every day people are going over the edge and dying without Jesus. That's horrible. But this is where what we're looking at here. Those people were exiled to Assyria, and there has been no return from their captivity. It has been permanent to this day, and it was the ending of all who shut God out of their lives. That's what people today are going to have if we don't speak to them. If you don't get it in your heart to just say Jesus loves you to someone, as simple as that, or go even further into what God asks you to do, people are dying without Jesus. And they're being shut out. They're being separated from God for all eternity. Elisha was God's choice for replacing Elijah as prophet to Israel, and he was called and anointed by him while he was out farming in his field. He was just everyday life. He was a farmer and he was out there with his oxen, and all of a sudden here come Elijah. And he said, follow me, put on the mantle. You can wear my mantle. Come with me, follow me. So Elisha gave up everything to go on mission for the Lord. He even burned the plow and killed the oxen to signify the end of his old life. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, I don't want to live that life anymore? I want to completely follow Jesus. I want to be running after Jesus. I want to be on a dead run for him. Jesus said, "Where I am, my servant will be also." John 12:26. Elisha knew the eternal principle of the seed falling to the ground and dying to produce a crop. Our seeds have to die. We have to die to ourselves to produce that crop that God needs to mission his people. When the call of God came his way, he readily let go of his own life, his own hopes and dreams, and he followed the call of God to wherever it would lead him. He had no idea where he was going or what it looked like, but he was willing to go and do that. And I'm so grateful that Jesus met me. I think it's been 9 years now. 9 years ago, I was in church my whole life, but 9 years ago, he encountered me and it changed everything. And I found out, I knew I had a heart for God. I knew I had a heart to want to share Jesus with people. I had no idea how to do it. There was no one to teach me. But today, I want to focus on the last day in the life of Elijah and the transfer of the baton from one prophet to the other, which is found in 2 Kings 2:1-6. Elisha had been with Elijah for approximately 6 years at this time. The purpose of his ministry as a prophet was to restore respect for God and his message. Just like Elijah, he also stood firmly against the evil kings of Israel. We have some evil kings around today, and we have to stand firm against them. Elisha was in discipleship with Elijah, and he was willing to follow and learn in order to gain what was needed to do the work to which God had called him for. You know, we don't always just rise up out of bed and know exactly what to do. We have to spend time with God. We have to see what he wants for us. We have to see what those gifts are that he put in us. You don't know that until you start serving him. When you start serving, all of a sudden you realize you are able to do this or this. I had no idea. You know, you're able to do things you never knew you could. You can't even begin to picture them until you actually step out and say, "I'm wanting to serve you, God." And then he puts all kinds of things in you. It's amazing. He was so dedicated that even down to the last day, Elijah followed his teacher all the way through the last moments of his life on earth. He would not leave him. In Mark 8:34-35, it says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." How far on this journey with God do you want to go? We get to decide. Ask him right now, "God, what's this look like for me?" I want you to get a vision in your heart of what does this look like. And ask yourself, how far am I willing to go? Am I willing to take 2 steps, 5 steps, 20 steps? How far do you want to take me, God? I want to see amazing blessings come. I want to see inheritance, all the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. I want to see it. I want to operate in it. I want to see people's lives changed. I want to move with you, God. How far are you willing to go? Are you willing to go all the way to get there? All the way. Got to ask yourself that right now. Jesus is asking you from the beginning. That's what he just said to us. Those who are willing to follow me will lose their life. Do you know that? Are you ready? This is why she said, buckle up. It isn't because I'm asking you to. It's because God asks you to. That's what he tells you to do. Follow me, lose your life. It's going to cost you, but follow me. I need you as the body of Christ to go out and serve me. He didn't just save us for ourselves. He did. He loves us, but he has a plan. And if we want to line up with the Father, we got to follow the plan. So Elijah was to confront and expose idolatry, helping to create an atmosphere where people could freely and publicly worship God. Is that your calling? Is your calling to stand up there and breathe fire on people and call down fire from heaven and cast out the Baal gods and all that? Is that your ministry? Maybe. Maybe. You don't know until you start stepping into it what he's going to call you to do. He was able to perform miracles of judgment on apostasy, calling back the nation to God. He is well known for his fiery miracles. Not everybody's called to be Elijah. There's all kinds of jobs. There's all kinds of roles. Leah, you did a great job of saying that today. It was just exactly what I'm going to be talking about. God calls each one of us to do a specific thing. And not everybody's Elijah. Praise God, right? Elisha's ministry was very different than Elijah's. He demonstrated God's powerful yet caring nature to all who came to him for help. The miracles of restoration were for the faithful believers. He showed compassion to the common folk and helped them to be reminded of God's love and faithfulness. Totally different. Still believe the same way Elijah did because they were on mission together, but he had a whole different ministry. He spent less time in conflict with evil and more on the compassionate care of people. Ephesians 2:10 says, God is a sculptor who fashions us uniquely, suiting us for the significant work that he has already planned for us. He has it already planned. He's just asking you, are you going to come into the plan? Are you willing to do the plan with me? I've got it all figured out for you. Let me help you get there. Your personality, natural talents, spiritual giftings, experiences in your upbringing, the time and place in which you live, etc., 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 have all been orchestrated by God. He has called each one of us to something different, and he needs you to do it. Everybody has a different ministry, so don't look at me and say, I want to be like her. Be like you. Be like you. Do what God's got for you. You know, I was discipled by Sarah. I don't look at all like her. I don't act at all like her. I am not like her. She's kind and merciful and gentle. That is not me. And if you know me, you know it. Hey, if you know me, you know I can't help but be passionate because God set me free from a horrible time of the enemy attacks for 30 some years. So when I got free and I got to a place where somebody could show me how to live differently with God, I just come alive. And all these things started coming up in me, and I cannot help but just be a little bit pushy. I'm sorry if I pushed you. I'm sorry, but I love you, and that's why I pushed you. I want everyone to experience God's savings power. God's saving power. He can change your life. I go after people that are struggling, and I feel like, do I think I'm a nursemaid? No. I want you to experience the power of God. I want you to be free from what the devil has you under. I don't like him. I don't like his plans. He makes me mad. So maybe I'm a little bit like Elijah. I just can't. So Sarah's merciful and gentle and kind. And praise God for that. And I'm a little bit passionate and zealous. And I'm sorry if I've pushed, but not sorry. Okay. So there is no coincidence in your genetics or your environment. God is sovereign over and involved in every aspect of your life. He has a unique purpose for you and wants to lead you into it fully. You are wonderfully made, uniquely made by him. And he has such powerful plans for you. He does want to allow you to change. But the question again is, how far will you go in the journey with him? He is so good. Elisha's name means God's salvation. His ministry was to show that God was alive and well and was able to save. Totally different. Elijah was on the big platform against the kings, against the rulers, against the principalities. And Elisha was given to the people. He was given to show the compassionate care that they needed from God. Two different ministries, but very powerful, both of them, correct? He showed people that God is salvation. He is salvation. And that I have a part in my ministry as well, because I want you to see that. God will set you free. Please follow me. Please come in. Please walk on this path, because God will set you free. I love you if I've pushed you. I want people to get it. I want it. I was lost for so long. And it just took the right place, the right time, the right people, the right message to turn it all around. And if you're here, you're in the right place. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you know that Elisha demonstrated twice as many miracles as Elijah did during his ministry? Who knew, right? The Bible actually records 18 miracles that he performed under the power of God, and his ministry lasted for more than 50 years. Now, we all know Elijah. He's all powerful, and the fire comes down from heaven, but his ministry was only 14 years, and he didn't have that many documented. I think it was 7. And yet, Elisha, because he was showing God's salvation to the people, God had him used for 50 years. And he did, everybody wants to say it's because he asked for a double portion. Well, that's all well and good. God already had it planned, though. He gave him his name that said God's salvation. He already knew he was going to walk out way more many miracles because he was sending him to the people. Hallelujah. Powerful, right? He showed great compassion for the daily needs of people around him. And through that, the power of God flowed. He put people in touch with the personal and all-powerful God. Thank you, Sarah. That's her ministry right there. That's why she's pastor. She has the ability to do that, and I'm grateful for it. So whose ministry was more successful, Elisha or Elijah? Everybody's on the fence, got a little vote or whatever. You know what God would say? Both. Because success is faithfully fulfilling his role for you. Amen. So whether you're up here with a microphone or you're answering the door or doing sound or praying for people or whatever you're serving in the capacity in the church, you're fulfilling the role that he has for you, right? So every job is important. Every part is important. So now let's go look at that last day of the earthly life of Elijah. We're going to be reading in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 6. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two walked on together. So what does each one of those locations signify in this story? Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. Let's take a closer look. This has interested me from the very first time I read through the Bible. Why? Why these four places? Why? So Gilgal, it means rolling or roll away. This was the place where the Israelites camped after crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land in Joshua 5. The nation of Israel came through the river, which signified the death and burial of their old lives and raised them into resurrection life with God. Just like baptism symbolizes the death and burial of the old way of life, coming up out of the water symbolizes resurrection to a new life in Jesus Christ. In the same way that the Israelites were in slavery to the Egyptians, we were all slaves to sin as well. So after crossing the Jordan into Gilgal, the Lord told them to make knives and circumcise the men as a sign of his covenant with Abraham at this location. So you see, there's history at this location of Gilgal. There's history and there's the future. And we're looking at both sides today. What is it speaking into us? God loved those people and he wanted them to be set apart for himself. He wanted them different from all the other nations that were around them. They were his people. I hope I look different. I hope I do. I don't want to look like the world today. Do you?
No.
No, we have to be different. We have to look different. We have to speak different. We cannot come into agreement with the things the world is in. We're in a place in time where different has to be. We have to stand up and look different, whether they like it or not. It's okay. And Joshua 5:9 says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, so that place has been called Gilgal to this day.'" Roll it away. Just roll it away. God removed the people's shame there, and their oppression rolled off of them. They were free. They had a fresh start. Hallelujah. I got a fresh start. Aren't you glad for fresh starts? And it's so wonderful because every morning they're new. Every morning his mercies are new. So if you messed up yesterday, today's the fresh start day. Hallelujah. Write it down. Today is the day of salvation. Yes. Hallelujah. Every day. The New Testament example of this that we're reading is Colossians 2:11-12. "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised you from the dead." Gilgal is a place of consecration to the Lord. It's a place where there is spiritual victory over the flesh. God rolls away the past in this location. Gilgal is a place of the cross. It is a place of death. It is a place of resurrection. It is a place of self-judgment. It is a place of separation and consecration. It is a place of freedom. Hallelujah. Note, we must judge ourselves. We don't want other people judging us. We don't want to be judged by God when we get there. We have to have self-judgment. We have to look at ourselves in the eyes of a holy God, so that he can use us in his kingdom. This is why he gave us his love letter, the Bible, so that we can look at that and say, am I lining up with that? Does my life look like that? I don't want anybody else telling me except the person I give permission to, which would be my disciple maker and Jesus and my pastors, right? You give somebody permission when you walk in discipleship. You give somebody permission to tell you when you're not looking so great. They're the ones that will tell you. They're the ones who love you enough to say, whoa, take a minute, go read that. Get that in your heart, because you're not looking like that today. They love you. They walk with you. They answer questions. They speak the truth. But when it doesn't look right, they also tell you that too. And you have to love people enough to tell them the truth, don't you? Because the real truth is not always pretty. But they love you. That's what discipleship is. That's why Jesus said, go make disciples. He wants people to be loved by each other and to be helped by each other, so they can look at themselves, judge themselves, and become free. Be in freedom so they can go serve for him, for his plan. It's not because they want to be mean and make you look like them. Not that I'm perfect at all, but we don't want a cookie cutter. Right, Pastor Don? No cookie cuttering discipleships here. We want everyone to be who they are, but we know that if it's not lining up with the word of God, we lovingly show them that. All right. So 2 Kings 2:2-3. "Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel." So here he could have sat down, right? That is too far. We'll talk about how far each distance was later, because I'm a teacher. But he said, you stay here. And he said, no, I'm going with you. I want to be on mission with you, Sarah. I want to walk with you. I want to do what you do all the way up to, I'm not leading a church, okay? I'm not going to do that. We'll sit for now, I'm not going to be a pastor of a church. But I followed her for 8 years. I followed what she does. I've done what she does, and I've got my own flair, but I've walked with her and talked with her and been discipled by her. And for that, I'm grateful. Here we are at Bethel now. Elisha's not leaving him. He's not going anywhere. Bethel means house of God or a place of worship. It is the presence of God. Bethel is the presence of God in our life. In Genesis 12, 6 and 7, it says that Abram traveled through the land and arrived in the land of Canaan near Bethel. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. In Genesis 28, we see where Jacob named this place because of the amazing presence of God that he experienced there. He had had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. The Lord told him that he would watch over him wherever he went, and he would bring him back to this land. So in verses 16 and 17, it says, "Jacob woke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'" So that's what Bethel means. It means the presence of God. They were experiencing the presence of God there. Jacob set up a sacred pillar and he named the place Bethel because originally it was called Luz. What a bad name for that, right? And he consecrated the site as a place to worship God. So Bethel was one of the first places in the Holy Land where the Ark of the Covenant of God was set up and where the priest offered sacrifices and inquired of the Lord. That was in Judges 20. So in our focus today on Elijah's last day, he encountered a company of prophets here at Bethel. Not much else is mentioned, but we do know that after this time, the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrians, but Bethel remained a home for priests. Praise the Lord. We don't have to go to a location. It's good that we're here at church, but the presence of God resides within us. The Holy Spirit resides in us. We are the temple, and His power is right within us. So when we focus on that, that God's presence, Bethel, is right inside of us, that's so exciting. I wish I would have known that years ago. I could have really done some damage to those demons. But the presence of God is with us, and it's our job to read His word and to build up in the understanding of that, that I can be powerful, I can be mighty in His name because the power of Him resides within me. And when I lay hands on the sick, what's going to happen? They will recover. They absolutely will recover because the power of God lives in me. I don't have to go on a hike to get to Bethel. He put it right inside of us. All right, 2 Kings 2:4. "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went to Jericho." All right, third location. Jericho has the spiritual meaning of walk of faith. This is where people were walking out their faith. You know what happened in Jericho, right? The walls came tumbling down because they walked it out. So Jericho is believed to be one of the oldest cities in the world. In some places, it had fortified walls up to 20 feet high and 20 feet thick. It was a symbol of military power and strength, and the Canaanites considered it invincible. God's plan was for His army to attack this city first, and its destruction would put the fear of Israel into the heart of every person in Canaan. So in Joshua 6:2, the word was, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men.'" When we walk out what God's given us with the power that resides in us, His presence in us, walls come down. Amen. Kings go down. Demons go down. They cannot stay in the presence of God. But we have to walk it out. We can't just sit there and say, "Boy, I hope I can get free today." You have to do something. You have to put your faith into action. You have to believe the word of God, and you have to take those steps of faith. It is a walk of faith. It is not a sit of faith. It is a verb: walk, do, go, read, study, listen, learn, right? Speak, speak the word of God. So then he gave marching instructions to him for the nation of Israel to walk out their faith in seeing Jericho destroyed. Who won the battle? God. God won the battle. The Israelites were a part of it because they walked it out in faith, but God won the battle. If you want him to win, if you want to win in your life, you got to let God do it and you got to walk it out. Listen to what he says and do it. This was the first city conquered by Israel after crossing the Jordan River, and it began their taking over all of the promised land. Put the fear in those people, didn't it? When they saw that person free, that person that used to be on the streets, drug addicted, homeless, no one ever gave him two looks. And now that person's leading a church. Wow, only God, right? He's got plans for everyone, including the person on the street, including the homeless, including the poor, all of us, every single one. We just have to do what we have to do to get there, right? Amen. Jericho remained unoccupied after it fell until the time of the prophets, Elijah and Elisha, about 500 years later. So God gave instructions for them to follow, and they experienced his victory. God won the battle because his people were obedient in walking it out and trusting in him. That's what faith is trusting God, right? If you read the word and you say, okay, that's the truth, do I trust you to bring it to fullness in my life? Absolutely. Elijah was most likely visiting the company of prophets at Jericho before he left. It doesn't really say why did he go to all these places, but I believe it's so that we know what these places mean. So moving on in 2 Kings 2:6, then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he, Elisha, replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two walked on together. Again, still together. Elisha's not giving up. He's going all the way. The Jordan has the spiritual meaning of death and resurrection, rebirth and freedom. In our story, Elijah was crossing over into his heavenly promised land, just as Israel had gone through this river to the earthly Canaan. Elijah was crossing back over the Jordan River towards Gilead, which was his birthplace. The Jordan represents the place where the Ark of the Covenant had gone through into the promised land because of the obedience of the priest who took a step of faith to part the water in the river. If you know that story, that's very powerful. But they had to take that step of faith to step into the rushing water so that the waters would part and they could take the presence of God through. It reminded them of when Moses parted the Red Sea with his rod for the people to escape Egypt. God's miracles have followed obedience throughout history. Obedience always is honored by God. The former parting of the Jordan River with Joshua had been the close of the desert wanderings for the nations. 40 years they wandered and wandered and wandered, and when that parted and they went across, they went into their promised land. Now, in this story, it signifies the end of the wilderness weariness and the toil that Elijah had. This is the entrance to his rest. From here, Elijah was carried to heaven and witnessed by Elisha to a life beyond death. Do you realize this parallels, the image of Jesus ascending into heaven? You know what happened to Elijah, right? He was taken up into a whirlwind, and the chariots of fire, horses of fire came. He was just taken up into heaven, which parallels the ascension of Jesus Christ. One ascension was fiery, and one was peaceful. Both were witnessed as the power of God. The Jordan signifies a Christian laying down their lives to Jesus on the cross. It brings freedom from oppression and deliverance and spiritual rebirth. It signifies crossing over into a better place. The Israelites were freed from their bondage by passing through the water, and rebirth pictures the freedom from sin that Jesus purchased on the cross. Philippians 3:14 says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is a long journey they're on, and they're pressing in, and they're moving, and they're walking, and they're not stopping, and Elisha's not sitting down on the path. He's continuing to go and follow his teacher. Don't be content with what you currently know and what you have experienced in the Lord. There's so much more. This excites me. We are never going to not know it all. I mean, we just can't. We cannot know it all. We are going to continually learn. We're going to continually grow because God says he honors those who hungers and thirst, right? So don't get dried up. Continue to hunger and thirst for more and more and more. All right. In the Christian life, it's important to start well, to carry on well, and to finish well all the way through. Allow God to work with you all the way through this life. Press on. Go deeper into the purpose for which he has called you. Don't sit down on the path. Somebody might come along and give you a little kick in the buns. Get up. Keep walking. Come on. Come on. Come on. We love you. Elijah could have stopped at any one of those cities and not received the mantle and his full inheritance from the Lord. So let's recap the significance of each of those four locations. Gilgal means separation or consecration. Bethel is the house of God or the presence. Jericho is the walk by faith. And the Jordan is spiritual rebirth and freedom. We also have a New Testament example of this same path given to us in a different way in Philippians 3, 6 through 11. These verses, 6 and 7, it was all written by Paul, but this 6 and 7 was about Paul's old life. He says, as to zeal, the persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, because we know he was a Pharisee, right? I was blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted it as a loss for the sake of Christ. Paul was speaking in these two verses and showing us the separation and consecration that is needed to follow Christ. He gave up his old way of life, completely no longer following God the way he had all those years. This is Gilgal. In verse 8, it says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. He is speaking about Bethel and spending time in the presence of God. It's about being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know him personally, get yourself to Bethel. You know, you need to go find his presence so that you can to figure this out. I did not know that. I had never gone to any of these four places, and I was a Christian my whole life. I had never gone to a place where I had to segregate and consecrate myself to the Lord and then go to Bethel and find his presence. I had no idea I was missing the boat. And there's a lot of people out there that are experiencing that same not knowing Jesus as Lord in their life. Let's see, in verse 9, and it says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes to faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Faith is a verb. We must walk in faith in our daily lives and be obedient doers of the word of God, like it tells us in the book of James. The walls of Jericho couldn't have come down unless they had walked it out by faith. So verses 10 and 11, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. To share a life with Jesus Christ, we must die to our flesh and be reborn again in the spirit to walk in resurrection power. Like at the Jordan River, the people walked across into freedom and into a new life. If you need to go back and revisit any of those spots in your life, in your journey, go back and do it. Go back and sit in Bethel for a while. Go back and experience the presence of God right in your own living room, right? Yep. But if you need to get a little kick in the buns, go to Jericho. Go read the story about the walls falling down. I need to get up. I need to get a moving. I need to walk by faith. Get yourself to Jericho, you know? These cities are for a reason. They're in here for a reason. This is a walk of faith. This journey we've been discussing happened in one day. It was 26 miles in its entirety. You can go ahead and put the map up. I'm a teacher, so here you go. That's what it looked like as far as distances and all that. Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan River. Okay, this is one day. This is his last day. Can you imagine walking this many miles in one day? It was 26 miles. Must have got up early in the morning. Maybe they had daylight savings time. I don't know. But Gilgal to Bethel was 8 miles. Bethel to Jericho was 12 miles down a mountain and had a descent of nearly 3,000 feet to the Jordan Valley. That is not just a little walk on a paved trail, like on a path, you know. This was a rugged walk. It doesn't really say why they did it, other than there were those places where those prophets came out. So maybe he was walking and saying goodbye to them, but they all knew he was going. The Lord had told all of them, that, you know, he's leaving. Shh, don't tell me that. It was not an easy walk. Jericho, then, to the Jordan River was 6 miles. Elisha never stopped following his teacher. He did not sit down. He continued to go, even though the teacher said, you don't have to follow me. It's okay. This is something I'm doing. You don't have to do it. No, surely I will not leave you. The Lord blessed him with being able to witness the most dramatic exit of Elijah into the whirlwind and to see the chariots and their horses of fire. You know, he asked him, What would you like? Since you're going with me, what can I bless you with? And he was expecting something, a tangible thing. And Elisha said, I want double blessings. I want to see that. And he said, I can't give you that. That's from God. I can't give you that. But if you see me when I go, then surely God will give you that. And so do you think that when he was told a whirlwind was going to take him, we found that in verse 1, the whirlwind was going to take him. Do you think when the chariots of fire and the horses of fire came that he might have been a plan of distraction to see if he would watch them? Because right when those came across the path is when the whirlwind came and took him up. Elisha saw him leave. He did not get distracted. He did not allow that fiery display of all of that amazing power take him off the path of following his teacher to the very end, because he wanted everything God had for him. He wanted everything, right? He was given the opportunity to pick up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him, the mantle that clothed him in the righteousness of Christ, to perform future miracles of God in his ministry. Now remember, he did get double portion. I mean, that is kind of what he asked for, but he had it because his heart was compassionate to people and he wanted people to experience God. Hallelujah. Is that your heart too? So when that cloak just fell off, when in whirlwind went up, he picked it up and he had to choose whether to put it on. He had to choose if he wanted to put that on. Do I want to walk in what Elijah had? Do I want to carry? It's a cost. You can listen to the really big preachers out there like Mario Murillo. He spends hours in his prayer closet preparing for a tent meeting. The power of God comes through him so powerfully. Why? Because he spends a lot of time in Bethel. There's a lot of time in Bethel and preparing for the salvation of God to come to the people. In 2 Kings 2:15, the company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him and bowed down on the ground before him. You notice they didn't cross the river. Those prophets, that whole school of prophets, they didn't cross the river to see what was going to happen. They didn't follow. They stayed with their group of people. They stayed there and they saw from a distance that he was gone, and they saw Elisha pick up the mantle. And when he came to the river and he said, does this thing work? And it did. And the water parted and he walked across, and then the prophets were like, oh, he's been with Elijah. Right? That was the whole point. When you've spent time with God, you're not going after it for yourself, but people will see that you've been with God. They will know you've been with God. Because you're carrying the power of God in you. Hallelujah. So Elisha was immediately established as a mighty man of God to all the prophets that were watching nearby. There was no mistaking that he had followed Elijah on his journey till the end, and he was being rewarded for his dedication to the Lord. We have the privilege of following in those same footsteps, right? Who wants it? Who wants to go all the way? Ask yourself, how far will I go? I'm not going to let something get in my way. I'm not going to be distracted by the fiery miracles of somebody else. I'm following God. I'm on mission with God. I don't have to go everywhere to see everything. Only what he tells me to do. And then people will know I've been with God because they'll see him in me. They'll see him in what I'm speaking. They'll see him. Don't grow weary in doing good, right? He didn't get weary on that whole 26-mile journey. He didn't slide on his butt all the way down, you know, and just take it easy. He walked it out. He picked up the mantle. He was rewarded by God. We too can be rewarded, because I don't know about you, but serving God is the biggest, bestest thing in my whole life. It is so exciting to be on mission with Jesus. It never stops. It's always exciting. So praise the Lord. Father, thank you so much for the places that you've given us in this story. Gilgal and totally just threw a blank. Bethel and Jericho and Jordan. Thank you for the journey that we're on. Thank you for the journey where everybody's at. I just pray, Father God, let them pack up their backpack with their Bible and their water bottles and get going. And I just thank you, Lord, that you would just release your power over the people today. Release your fire, Father God, into each one of them. I pray that I was a spark for their fire to get started, to get going, to burn hotter, to flame with more passion for serving you, Father God. Let us just put our hands on people, speak your word, and see those miracle signs and wonders follow. Everywhere we go, there should be people burning. There should be little sparks of fire. There should be something happening in people when they've been near us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the four places that you've given us. Let us continually keep walking in them and be on mission with you, because we love you, God. We love you, God, and we want to honor you. We want to bring goodness to your name. We want to show people that you are salvation. You are salvation. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.